Perfect.
Yeah, great. Maybe just a bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to do that, but please bear with me. I'm not. Thank you. Thank you.
session.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning. Are we ready to go?
Yes, we might proceed with the briefing, Chair.
Okay, cool. Great. Good morning, honorable members. Welcome to the meeting. Let me also welcome representatives from the legal team that are present from the Department of Justice. We do have a representative from the State Legal Advisor, Ms. Hang De Prayer. We also have Ms. Puerta, the senior legal advisor as well, and also our parliamentary legal advisor, Ms. Isaac, present on the platform. I think just in terms of honorable members who are present, we have Honorable Smith, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Nikolakis, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Badenhorst, and yeah, I hope I didn't miss any member. Oh, and Honorable Mteto as well. All right, honorable members, once again, welcome. Just in terms of our agenda, we will be dealing with three items. The one is we would get a briefing from the Department of Justice on the prevention and combating of hate crimes and hate speech bill. Secondly, we will then also consider the repeal of the Transkei Penal Code Bill. And finally, we'll then deal with some of the outstanding minutes of the committee. That being said, members, I think I'll give pass with apologies. We do have an apology from the Deputy Minister and Honorable Dodogo. I think both members are busy with the Judicial Service Commission as we speak. I think we'll then go into our first agenda item, which is on the prevention and combating of hate crimes and hate speech bill. On members, this bill was referred to the committee on the 14th of March, 2023.
Recording in progress.
In essence, the bill seeks to address frequently occurring and sometimes violent conduct of persons who are motivated by clear and defined prejudices. The bill creates the offenses of hate crimes and hate speech and puts in place measures to prevent and combat these offenses. Let me then welcome, I see a hand. Shall I do that? Honorable Mikolakis?
Morning. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Chairperson, yes. My comment is just with regards to the apology of the Deputy Minister. Bills need to be introduced, preferably by the Minister. We are used to the Deputy Minister always attending, never the Minister. But it is important that a political head of the department, be it either the minister or the deputy, be present at these meetings if there are questions after the presentation of a political nature. Automatically, when it's only if it's only civil servants that are on the platform, automatically that limits our scope of questions that we can ask. So I find that very problematic. I think we should note the apology of the Deputy Minister. It's a very valid apology, but I don't hear any apology received from the Minister himself. In fact, I don't think we've ever received an apology as the committee. It might have come through to your office, but I've never heard an apology received by the Minister himself. And I do find this problematic. I would like to ask if you know where the Minister is and why he's not here this morning. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you, Honorable Mikolakis. I think you would be aware that the Deputy Minister in the department actually leads with a lot of the legislation by the department. In essence, the Deputy Minister was attending this meeting, and the Minister unfortunately had to attend some bilateral meeting, which he and as a result, the deputy minister has to fill in for the minister as well. So I agree with you that it is problematic. I have raised that as well with the minister and the DM. But what I felt was that perhaps we should continue, given the fact that we do not have sufficient time in this term to deal with all of our processes, largely because we have a large number of budgets and APTs that we have to deal with as a committee. However, I was still coming to the point with regard to what you raised as well, Honourable Mikolakis, in terms of issues that members may feel limited in raising, especially of a political nature. But I think in my discussion with the DM as well, we agreed that if those issues do arise, members should not limit themselves. They should raise those issues. And the DM will, in our next engagement on the floor, also deal with those matters. So I have that commitment from the DM as well. But I think, as you said, Honourable Mikolakis, let's note the policy. Let's agree that it is problematic for the executive not to be present to table the ball. And we'll try and just ensure that in future that they're actually present. Unfortunately, what transpired like yesterday. So I was unable to, at times, sometimes when the executive's not around and we require them to be around, we tend to then move our program around so that we ensure that we're present. But unfortunately, this term, it's a bit difficult to do that. I hope members are okay with that explanation, and we can then, can I then be allowed then to move forward with the agenda? I'm going to call on the department to make the presentation on the vote of the committee and office, bearing in mind that if members do raise matters of a political nature, that the political teams themselves as well raise it with the relevant ministers, but we will obviously note it as well. And in our next meeting also take it forward. Thank you very much. Let me hand over to, I understand, is it Mr. Dupre who's going to take us through?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. That is correct. I will share my screen if you will allow me. If I'm successful, I don't know what's going on with my screen this morning. I trust that the members can see the presentation.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Madam Chair, we would like to highlight to you that the bill is a 2018 bill. It was introduced on 13 April 2018. The finalization of the bill was kept in abeyance pending the Constitutional Court's judgment in the Quilani matter, and we will provide you with more information when we get to Clause 4 of the bill itself. The purpose of the bill is to seek to address the increasing number of incidents motivated by prejudice in the form of hate crimes and hate speech, and to assist persons who are victims thereof. And the bill creates the offenses of hate crimes and hate speech and puts in place measures to prevent and combat these offenses. It's a very short bill, Madam Chair, and the crux of the matter is contained in clauses 3 and 4 of the bill itself. So in clause 1, the bill mainly contains self-explanatory definitions. However, we would like to highlight that the definition of court excludes district courts from the application of the bill. Only the high courts and the regional courts, where there are more experienced officers, may deal with the adjudication of these offenses, in other words, hate crimes and hate speech. The other important definitions in Clause 1 is the definition of characteristics applying to hate crimes, and then grounds applying to hate speech. The definition of harm the definition of harm means or is defined as any substantial emotional, physical, psychological, social, or economic detriment that objectively and severely undermines the human dignity of the targeted groups. The whole issue, and that was debated at length in the portfolio committee, was the definition of social detriment, and eventually there was a provision included in Clause 1 to define what social detriment is.
Mr. Dupriya, if I may request that you put your screen on slide mode, presentation mode.
Good grief, Madam Chair.
It's on the bottom of your screen, next to where you can increase the resolution of the screen. There's a little button with a down arrow there on the bottom right. Go to the bottom of the screen.
Madam Chair, I'm already in share screen, so...
Okay, continue. It's not a major transition.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said, it's a very short bill, and it's straightforward. And as has been mentioned earlier, the politics behind this bill might be very much larger than the bill itself. So, Clause 3 of the bill describes what is hate crimes, the Madam Chair. I'm going to speak to this presentation. I'm not going to go through line by line. But the bottom line, Madam Chair, with regard to Clause 3 is that if you commit an underlying offense, for example, murder, assault, or whatever, and it is based on or motivated by your prejudice or intolerance for one or more of the characteristics. Now, we refer to characteristics, so we must go back to Clause 1 of the bill to determine what the characteristics are. Then you will be found guilty of the underlying offense as a hate crime, and the relevant clause also requires that the criminal record of the person concerned must then reflect that he or she was convicted of the underlying offense as a hate crime. Now, with regard to Clause 4, Madam Chair, Chair, you must please accept my apology, but sorry, Chair. It's a bit difficult this morning. I don't know why. It might be. So, Clause 4 reflects the hate speech provision. I also think that there's not really something to point out to you, except that we need to indicate that with regard to the hate speech provision, there's a bit fewer grounds than compared to the hate crimes as defined in Section 1. And then we've also got, and this is an important aspect, Madam Chair, is the whole issue of hate speech versus freedom of expression. And those issues are provided for in subclause 2 of clause 4. With regard to, and this is where I would like to interrupt myself with your permission, Madam Chair, is the reason why the finalization of this bill was kept in abeyance until the Polani judgment was because of the fact that the Polani judgment had an effect on this bill, and we were supposed to, or we were advised to wait for the Polani judgment in order to determine whether the hate speech provision should be adopted and or amended. And the hate speech provision was in fact amended as a result of the Polani judgment. The members of the committee do have the presentation available. I don't want to waste too much time on this, but there were four very important questions that were raised in the Constitutional Court, and that gave us the necessary guidance to finalize or prepare amendments to the bill that would be in line with the Polani judgment. As far as Clause 5 is concerned, that deals with victim impact statements. Clause 6 is a very important clause, and that deals with the sentencing. You will note that in the bill itself, emphasis is placed on hate crimes, and that is to align it to the existing sentencing regime. And with regard to hate speech, provision is made for a period of imprisonment for not more than 7 years, 8 years, or both in the term of imprisonment and the fine itself. Clauses 7 and 8 moves more in the direction of the prevention and combating of these crimes, and they deal with the national instructions and directives. Also a provision that is fairly quite straightforward. Clauses 9 and 10 as well deal with the prevention of hate crimes and hate speech. And then, of course, the regulations that must be promulgated by the minister, if necessary. And then Clause 11 must be read with the schedule to the bill, and those mainly refer to the proposed amendments to the Minimum Sentences Act, as well as the Child Justice Act, and then also minor amendments to the Criminal Procedure Act. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupre for the presentation. I'm going to open it up then to honorable members. If you have any questions, comments, or questions for clarity and or comments that you would want to make at this point. And if you can please maybe indicate with the raising your hand function. Okay, I see Honorable Mikolakis, Honorable Smith for now. Okay, let me start with you, Honorable Mikolakis. And my apology for the camera as well because of currently being load shedded, so yeah, I just hope it doesn't affect the quality of the result. Honorable Mikolakis.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Dupre, for the presentation. I just have a few questions, Chair. The first one is, Mr. Dupre says that freedom of expression is provided for in Clause 4.2 exemptions, but how does Clause 4.2 provide for the Constitution's Section 16.1b's freedom to receive information and impart ideas? How does the bill seek to find a balance between those two different rights and requirements? That would be the first question. Then, Chairperson, I have a bit of an issue with the fact that hatred is created as a entirely new form of crime. And this has been raised, I think, in the National Assembly side as well, but we weren't part of those discussions. And I'm in agreement with the view that was raised there that hatred should be used as an aggravating circumstance rather than constituting an entire form of crime. I would like to ask, and this is where it becomes problematic that we don't have the minister or the deputy minister here. I would like to ask what the motivation was to create an entirely new crime and why it is not a solution for it to continue as an aggravating circumstance that can be raised when the primary crime has been proven. I also have a few questions with regards to the criminal sanctions. There has been quite a bit of outcry that I also agree with about the severity of the crime, or at least the term that a person can go to jail for. What was the reasoning behind coming up with that? I also think that it is going to put some the onerous process is going to make it a bit difficult under the current circumstances, although I do understand it is a problem with hate crimes as defined in certain ways, and that there is going to be a bit of a problem with regards to the onerous requirements that the bill sets out. If you look at the already stretched resources of the National Prosecuting Authority, I would like to hear the department's views on how that is going to be mitigated. And then just give me 1 second, Chair. I have one more question here for now. I hope to have another round. The bill does not, as far as I have read it, define hatred itself, which is a bit problematic. It is an element of the crime, and we saw this a while ago with regards to the terrorism bill as well. It's an element, but it's not defined very specifically, and that becomes a bit of a problem. So, what can be seen as hatred if it's not defined as such? Can anything that is viewed under certain circumstances all of a sudden now be thrown under the name of hatred, or is it not perhaps necessary for us to go and specifically define what is meant by hatred in this bill. I do find it very problematic that an element of the crime is not very clearly defined. Those questions for now, Chairperson. Perhaps later I might have a few more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mikolakis. Honourable Smith.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm also having load shedding, and I know my network is not stable, so I'm not going to put my camera on. Am I audible, though?
Yes, you are. Please continue.
Thank you so much. Chair, I want to continue where the Honourable Michalakis ended with the last question, because that's the question I have. Is specifically when we talk about hate speech, where is the line going to be defined between offensive language and hate speech? Because there's a very fine line between those two. And in terms of freedom of speech, offensive language does form part of freedom of speech. But where does that line end in terms of this bill? If I can get some clarity in terms of where does it, because it is not defined, as the Honourable Michalakis said. But where does that line end? Because we are moving into very, very dangerous territory if we don't define that line very clearly, where it can then curb freedom of speech, and which is in the Constitution. Thank you, Jay.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Smith. Is there any other honourable member? Okay, I'm not seeing any other hands. Perhaps let me just raise a few issues which are more specific to the bill. In terms of the definitions, clause one, the bill contains a number of definitions, but chief of which is the 16 characteristics of a person targeted by hate speech and hate crime, as well as the 10 grounds upon which the freedom of expression can be limited. However, there are 6 characteristics that have been omitted under the grounds, which are age, occupation of trade, political affiliation or conviction, culture, disability and language. And maybe if you could just explain the rationale for the omission from the definition of grounds. I think the other issue relates to clause 3, subclause 1, and the new subclause 3.2a, which now provides that hate crime is an underlying offense. The department, if you could please explain how this provision would be implemented in practice, because it would appear that the hate crime is an underlying offense, but not hate speech. There's clause 4 as well, in terms of offense of hate speech, where clause 4 does not make reference to sentences in terms of section 6 subclause 1, that a conviction for the offense of hate speech could attract unlike clause 3, because I think clause 4 does not also contain a provision that the criminal records of persons convicted of hate speech must reflect such offence, and why is that? Clause 5, the victim impact statement, I think it's in terms of clause 5, subclause 3, the contents of the victim impact statement are admissible as evidence, unless the court in good cause has shown or decides otherwise. The proviso following unless in clause 5 subclause 3 seems out of place in this clause and requires clarity. And if you could please make clarify that. And also under clause 5 subclause 3, if you could explain under which circumstances the victim impact statement contents would not be admissible as evidence. And lastly, clause 6 on penalties and orders, clause 6 of clause 3, which now provides that any person who is convicted of an offence referred to in section 4 is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 8 years, or to both a fine and such imprisonment. And perhaps how was the period of 8 years decided on? I think those are just some of the questions from my side. Nikolakis, if I may ask, did you have any other questions you would want to raise now? Honourable, okay, can I take him, Tetra, and then I'll come back to you. Tetra, please.
Thank you, Chair. My is a simple question, Chair. Is that this hate speech, are they going to consider our own cultural language in this speech? Because sometimes you may say something in our African way, and then in terms of the other language, and then it becomes like a hate speech. How are we going to define that? Because there's a very thin line between these issues. I would like the Deputy Minister to respond on that, or the person delegated by the Deputy Minister there to answer my question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So, Honourable Nikolakis, I didn't hear what you said earlier.
No, Chairperson, I just want to indicate that it's absolutely fine if Honourable Ndetwa goes first. He hasn't had a chance. I really appreciate the second opportunity to ask. Chairperson, I just have one more question, and it is also a bit more of political of nature. Chairperson, the root cause of real hate crime is at this stage, it's a moral problem in society, and you cannot legislate morality. And I do not think that this bill will achieve that. What it will do at this stage is to limit the freedom of speech of people who do not commit actual hate crimes. And it would disencourage many people from actually speaking their minds as well. So the root cause of hate crimes are not being dealt with by this bill, and the reason why it isn't dealt with is because, as I said, you cannot legislate morality. So what I would like to ask from the department is how it thinks that the root cause is going to be addressed through this legislation, and if it cannot address the root cause through this legislation, why is this legislation before us? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Nikolakis. Honourable Motsumai. Honourable Motsumai, your hand is up.
Yes, Chairperson. Ne ke re ka hore rona re le batho ba bantsho. Re na le bo Msilenkao. Re na le bo Duma Makagula kanjalo. Ha motho a tlo sebedisa setso sa rona mo tabeng ena ya hate speech, le tlo kgona go e rarolola jwang, or le tla ipha nako ya gore le rute batho gore ba tlhaloganye gore setso se sa rona sa batho ba bantsho re na le go berekisa mafoko a mangwe a rong ga o a shebile be le dithapa. Mari e le setso re gola ka sone, le tlo e etsa yang gore batho ba understand? Ke a leboga, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Motsumai. I think our members will know that we don't necessarily have translation services on the platform. Honourable Motsumai, I'm not sure anyone on the platform, if they or from the department, understood that question. You can just give me an indication if you did.
I think Setswana is an official language also. Somebody must be there to answer me. in Setswana, because I'm representing the mass of Botswana. We can't know one language.
It's not a point of order, really. All official languages are recognized. I think what I indicated was that we don't have translation services on the platform. What I was requesting from the department, if there's any member on the legal team that understood that question, if they did not, then I'm sure we'll then deal with the translation issue, and the department will respond perhaps in the next meeting. Mr. Dupria, on your team, do you have anyone who would have understood the question?
Madam Chair, unfortunately not. My dad was fluent in Setswana, but he unfortunately never told or explained the language to me, so I apologize for that.
Okay. No, that's fine. You just stay with us. If your question doesn't get answered today, it will get answered. We'll note that question as well. Let me then hand over to yourself, Mr. Priya. Obviously, there are questions of a political nature that have arose from both, I think, from Mikulakis, Honorable Mikulakis, Honorable Smith, and Honorable Mkeshwa. But if you could just respond to what you can in terms of the specifics within the bill, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will start with the last question first, the whole issue of the moral problem. The bill is aimed at providing a equilibrium between free speech and of course when hate speech becomes involved. And I think when we go to the bill clause by clause, we will be able to explain it better to you. We've only presented the bill to you this morning, but it might be better to have a look at the content of the bill itself. With regard to the question that was raised with regard to clause 3, the implementation of hate crimes, the bill itself specifically mentions that if a person is convicted of a hate crime, then the criminal record must reflect the fact that they've been convicted of, for example, assault as a hate crime. With regard to hate speech, Madam Chair, you will note that the common law offence of, let me go back to clause 3. When you look at clause 3 itself, and it might be better when we go through the bill clause by clause, then it will become apparent. The concern that was raised in the committee is, the portfolio committee, is that the whole issue of double crime and criminality. And that is why clause 3 explicitly excludes the common law offence of hate speech and then, of course, the offence of the common law offence of hate crimen jura, and then of course the clause 4 provision which deals with hate speech. I must admit, Madam Chair, that is something that was not discussed in the portfolio committee, is whether a person's criminal record should also reflect hate speech, but it will. So there is no doubt about that, because it is a new offense being created in terms of the legislation. As far as sentencing is concerned, Madam Chair, that was also something that was discussed at length in the Portfolio Committee. If you look at the provisions of the bill as the bill was introduced, there were a differentiation being made between a first offender and a second offender. And the final decision was made to put a maximum of 8 years in the penalty provision. And of course, one would want to leave the discretion of sentencing to the courts and not necessarily the legislature to dictate that. Sorry, Madam Chair, I'm just looking at my notes here. Insofar as hate crimes are concerned, the aggravating circumstances, we have a very technical and intricate sentencing regime in South Africa. So where the Minimum Sentences Act does not apply, then the courts will be obliged to take the fact that a person has committed a crime on the basis of prejudice as an aggravating circumstance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dupreer. Honorable Mutsana, I see your hand is up again, and Honorable Mutsana, I don't know if it's a legacy hand or if you have raised it.
No, Chair, I'm not yet well answered, especially on the African issues. As to how are they going to deal with that? Especially we've got songs, Chair, that are very historical to us. That means we might not want them to be demolished by this act. So these are the things, Chair, that we want to be, we want to understand it as to how far this it has to go. Because there's very thin lines, others, when I sing my old songs, they might regard them as now this is a hate speech. In some of my revolutionary songs, we didn't choose to have those revolution songs. They were there before us. If things like this will find itself fall within this act, then it will be problematic. I just want to understand that.
There's an echo. I see Mr. Dupreer's raised hand, but I see Mr. Smith, maybe Mr. Smith before, can come first before Mr. Dupreer. Mr. Smith?
Honourable Smith. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Apologies.
Can you hear me again? Sorry, I just want to make sure.
Yes, we can hear you. Please continue.
Okay, thank you so much. The Honourable Mutsana actually triggered something in my mind as well. You know, in terms of ancient religious scriptures as well, you know, and in those scriptures there are things that might be offensive towards other religious groups. And again, it comes to where's that line drawn? Because you're going to create a massive problem within the religious community when you're going to start, regulate that they must remove certain scriptures within the ancient scripts because it is classified as hate speech. So that's another question that we should ask ourselves. And that's only one example. I think there's many other examples that can also be raised. And those are things. And it comes back to the principle that the Honorable Michalakis raised is in terms of morality. How do you legislate morality? You just can't. So it's really a concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Smith. Mr. Dupre?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I would like to possibly answer both questions at once. And that is to indicate to the committee that if you look at the bill itself, the Director of Public Prosecutions in the different provinces are empowered to decide whether a prosecution should be instituted or not. Now, when it comes to for example, revolution songs, the bottom line would be there whether they are unlawful or not. So that is a question, a factual question that will be raised before a decision is made to institute a prosecution, as well as the whole issue of religious or old religious scriptures. When we get to the bill, Madam Chair, clause by clause, we will indicate to the committee that freedom of speech is very important, apart from all the other rights that are contained in the Bill of Rights. So I don't think that the whole issue of revolution songs or the whole issue of what is said in old religious scriptures should be a concern, because the bottom line is that it will be decided on the basis of lawfulness or unlawfulness whether a prosecution should be instituted or not. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupre, for the presentation and the responses. I thought today you would take us close by close, but you seem to be indicating that you're seeing it as another process. But be that as it may, honourable members, if you agree with me, honourable Michalakis, I see your hand is up. Do you want to do a follow-up, or would you prefer that we get the minister, DM, or the minister present and take our discussions forward so they can address some of the other issues, unless you have a specific issue on the bill itself?
Yes, I mean it would be important that we get the minister or the deputy minister here to answer those outstanding questions. I don't want to belabor the point, but from what I understood, Mr. Dupre just said now, and forgive me if I understood him wrong, but in other words, as it currently stands, the discretion is left up to some prosecutor, whoever it is, to decide if the hate speech is serious enough to prosecute, and they have the discretion with regards to that. It's not clearly defined within boundaries in the bill at this stage. If that is the case, and I understood Mr. Dupre correctly, then, Chairperson, I do think that we need to, over the next coming weeks, discuss this very seriously, because I do find that a very serious problem if the legislation just leaves it open to the discretion of the prosecuting authority, as if they have nothing better to do with their time at this stage. I do find that very, very problematic, and I would like, over the coming few weeks, for the department to put my mind at ease in that regard, if I understood Mr. Dupre correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Michalakis. Honourable Samai, see your hand is up.
Yes, Chair. The slogan, the freedom fighters, like, freedom fighters. a yone le tlo khona go bontsha batho gore ya ka rena le dipina tse e leng gore ke tsone tse ne re lwela toka batho ba rona ba tla itsisiwe yang gore ntho ena e right o high right maka bone rona re tseba e le pina tse e le gore ne di binwa ke bontata a rona bontate mogolo le tlo kgona go e tsayang ke ntho ne ke rata gore le yone le ka fitta ka yone mo nako e tlang.
Now, thank you, Honourable. I think the issue you're raising is similar to also what Honourable Keto has said. But Honourable Members, as I was indicating, that okay, there are some outstanding responses, but also responses that we would require from the executives. Can I, if you allow, can I propose that we leave our discussion for now on this call? And we take it forward when the minister or deputy minister are part of our meeting so that we can then get responses to all the issues that are raised. And then we can also take the discussions a lot more further. And I think the issues also raised by Honourable Matsumai, I think will also be addressed as we move forward. If members are okay with that, I think then let me then thank Mr. Dupreer, who represented the department in terms of the presentation on this bill. And we then can move on to our next agenda item. Thank you very much, Mr. Dupreer. You're welcome to remain on the platform if you wish. However, we then moving on to the next agenda item, which is the repeal of the Transkei Penal Code Bill. On members, I just need to inform you that we did put the bill out for public comment. However, we did not receive any comments on the bill. I thought I would just open it up to yourself. If in our previous meeting, we did have an engagement on the bill. Not many issues were actually raised by members, but if you had any specific issues that you would have wanted to raise today, we would give you an opportunity to do that. If not, then we would then perhaps look in a future meeting where we would then want to consider the report with regard to the poll. But we would also take further deliberation in the next meeting before we actually even adopt a report. On members, is there anyone who would want to raise anything around the repeal of the Transkei Penal Code Bill? On Motomai, is this a legacy hand or? Okay. If not, on members, then perhaps in a future meeting, we'll then take further deliberations from on members themselves. And or consider the report of the committee. Honourable members, we'll then move on to the. I can also release the legal team that's been dealing with the bill. Yeah, you're welcome to still continue to be part of this meeting, but if not, we'll want to move on to the third agenda item, which is the consideration and adoption of minutes. Gershwin, if you can also assist me on this one. I hope you're not having load shedding as well. Gershwin? Okay, no, members, we have actually five sets of minutes that we want to deal with in this meeting. The first set of minutes, and I'm assuming that all members did receive these minutes and they also had time to go through the minutes. I think all these minutes largely dealt with the public Tara Bill in terms of the briefings and in terms of our deliberations. On the first set of minutes dated the 30th of November 2022, in terms of the agenda, we had a briefing by the minister on the public Tara Bill, and we also considered and adopted, I think, both sets of minutes in that meeting. Yes, Honourable Smith. Is it Honourable Smith? I'm just hearing the voice.
Yes, it's me. Sorry, my apology, Honourable Chair. just to ensure that, you know, we don't go through this and then we have a technical issue at the end. I just want to be assured that we have a quorum to approve these minutes. If we can just confirm whether we have a quorum to continue with this. Thank you.
Okay. No, we had a quorum at the beginning of the meeting, Honorable Smith. I think Gershon confirmed that. Yeah.
Honorable Chair, with all due respect, it unfortunately doesn't work like that. When you make a decision, at that moment when you make a decision, you need to have a quorum present. So it is important that we reconfirm that we have a quorum available to do this now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's not a major transmash because sometimes we do form a quorum as the meeting also continues. Gershon, if you can confirm that for me at this point in the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson. We have 9 members present. We have a quorum.
Yeah. Okay, no, thank you very much, Gershon. Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Okay. But perhaps also on the meeting of the 10th of, is it the 10th, sorry, 30th of November, in terms of attendance, Honorable Dengo, Honorable Matamai, Honorable Sister were not in the meeting, and obviously the Western Cape representative was not there. So Honorable Members, I want to assume you went through the minutes. I just want to request if there are any additions and or corrections you would like to make to those minutes. And or, yeah, is any member that would like to make any corrections? Honorable Khadeve, your hand is up.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, good morning to you and to honorable members. I just wanted to make one correction on the list of attendance, on the list of attendees, my initials, it's N Hade, not X Hade.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. I think that sorry about that. I hope it's not in the other minutes, but I'm sure we'll correct that. Thank you very much, Honorable Patrick. Honorable Patrick?
Chair, I just want to propose that we accept the minutes as with the correction, Honorable Khadeve. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Is there any seconder?
Seconder, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matamai. We can then go on to the next set of minutes, which is dated the 7th of December. Okay. On minutes, I think in this meeting, we actually had a verbal submission of public hearings on the POP de Tarapo from three organizations. I think all members were present in this meeting. Honorable Fisser, obviously, I think was not present, and also the Western Cape representative was also not yet finalized in the NCLP. So once again, all members, this was the presentations we received from three organizations in terms of Optara Bowl. Members, if you have any additions and corrections that you would want to make to the minutes, please can you give me an indication? Okay, Honorable Maleka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and the support staff. I want to move for the adoption of the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Maleka. Is there any seconder to that?
I second, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Bartlett.
Chair to ask the Chair.
And on the table. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much, honourable members. We'll then move on to the third set of minutes, which is dated the 8th of December, 2022. Once again, honourable members, we dealt with the departmental responses to the Pokitara Bill in that meeting. And I think all members were present in that meeting, except obviously the Western Cape press. Once again, all members, are there any additions you would like to make to this minute? And or corrections? Okay, if not, would you want to then move for the adoption of the minute?
I move on Honourable,
Honourable Bartlett, moves. Any second, Honourable Maleka?
I second.
Thank you very much. We then move to the fourth set of minutes, dated the 9th of December, 2022. And in this meeting, honourable members, we deliberated on the Pokitara Bill, and I think all members are present as well, except for the Western Cape representative. Once again, honourable members, are you? Do you have any corrections and amendments you would like to make to this minute? Okay, if not, is there a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Honourable members?
I move for the adoption of the agenda, of the minutes, Maleka.
Thank you, Honourable Maleka. Any seconders?
Seconders.
Thank you, Honourable Matsumai. Keep the minutes, okay. Can we then move on to the final set of minutes? I know, Honourable members, it gets a bit tedious to adopt minutes, but it's a very important part of our records and the process. The final set of minutes is dated the 12th of December, 2022. And in this meeting, we had three agenda items. We considered and adopted the Pokitara Bill, as well as the public participation report on the Pokitara Bill and the committee report on the Pokitara Bill. Once again, in terms of attendance, I think Honourable Fisher was not present, as well as the Western Cape representative. Once again, Honourable members, are there any additional amendments that you would like to make to these minutes? And if not, if you're happy with the minutes, would you? Is there any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bartlett. Your volume is very low, but thank you. Any second? Any second, Honourable Members?
A second, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Maleka. I think that being said, Honourable Members, I think we've come to the end of our agenda. Let me once again just thank you for your attendance and participation in this meeting, as well as the officials and the staff that are present. Thank you very much. And that being said, I'm going to declare this meeting closed. Thank you, honourable members.